All right, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online today to Waldo Baptist Church for our Bible study this morning. It's cold out there again, isn't it? They tell me spring's getting closer every day, though. Looking forward to it. It's good to be in the Lord's house with you today. Praise the Lord. And to be able to share together in the Word of God and to worship together and to enjoy the blessings of life that He gives us each day. We've got a lot of folks we need to pray for today. Some of you remember my good friend David Rose, Chantel, that came to church here for many years, now live in Lexington. David's had extensive surgery for cancer, and he's getting ready to start his chemotherapy. And I want to remember him in our prayers, as well as Debbie Lovin and Mike Hicks and also Celesta Goins, and remember Delisa Bunning too as well. Joyce Barnhill, lift them up in our prayers as they need help. Gary Jennings, that's going to have open heart surgery. I want to pray for Gary, lift him up in our prayers. And pardon? Yeah, can't you hear me? Is it low? It's up pretty high. I'll just talk louder. You can hear me now, can't you? Okay. Yeah. So we want to remember all these folks in our prayers. Tina, that's got to have upcoming surgery. I want to remember Tina Peebles in our prayer as well. I think they finally figured out what's wrong with my sister. And it wasn't her brain. A lot of folks thought it was, but it wasn't that. They have found she has a heel spur. And so every time she'd put her foot down and start walking, it would cause a great deal of pain. So we praise God that after I don't know how many months it's been, they finally seem to have figured out what's wrong with her. So that's a step in the right direction. So let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we lift up all these folks that we've mentioned today, and my wife Kay, others, Lord, my wife's sisters, that one a stroke victim, has been that way for many years now, and Lord, we pray for all of our church family that are sick and hurting, those that are afflicted and injured, and those that have had surgery, and those that need surgery, especially those that have cancer. Lord, we pray for your healing grace. We pray that you might touch them with your grace and healing and your merciful hand. We pray for all those on our prayer list. We pray and ask you to bless as we study your word together, that we might hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Guide us and lead us as we grow and live out our lives here as a Christian. Lord, as we look forward to your kingdom coming to earth and your will being done. Father, we give you praise and glory because of the word of God that you've given us without error. And Lord, we pray that as we look at it this morning, we not only hear it, but we might believe it and we might apply it to our own lives. Help me to do that especially, Lord, because I fall short so many times. Lord, bless Brother Nate and Aaron as they lead us in worship and the Word. And Lord, we pray if there's anyone lost here today, they might be saved. We thank you again for Jesus, the life we have in Him, and for the good things you give us to enjoy each and every day. And we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And through His shed blood, we pray. Amen. We begin in the book of Ezekiel, and you don't need to turn there. I'm just giving you a little recap to kind of catch everybody up on where we have been and what we've been studying about. We begin in the book of Ezekiel and the Valley of Dry Bones, and we have taken that and we've gone through Scripture and we've looked at what it takes to bring life, spiritual life, to an individual. As we were shown there in the Valley of Dry Bones, it takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And salvation itself is a total work of God. And then we get into the time of our life after we've been saved and we're growing as a Christian and we're living out our Christian lives, and it's a battle. It always will be, the flesh and the spirit. And it'll always be a battle as we go through life. And so as we've been looking at different individuals in the Bible and how they managed those battles in their life, we looked at Zacchaeus and how he had to draw near to the Lord, and he climbed the sycamore tree, and he was a hated man, and how his life was changed through Jesus Christ and his family. And we looked at that, and we looked at Moses, and we looked at the tribulation that he was going through when he came down off the mountains with the Ten Commandments, and the Israelites had made a golden calf and they were worshiping it and dancing and singing around it, and how he needed to know what God's plan and was from that time on. He needed to know that in his own life. And so we've looked at the woman with the issue of blood and how she was desperate, how she had spent all that she had. She'd been to all the doctors. I can identify with that, with some of the things we've gone through in the past. And so she had spent all that she had, and that she knew. They tried everything else. She had this issue of blood. She was considered unclean. She wasn't even supposed to be where she was around the crowd. And yet she came and she fought through the crowd. And she believed in all her heart, if she could just touch the hem of the garments of Jesus Christ, she would be healed. And we saw how that Jesus knew immediately that power had went out from him. And how then he said, "Who touched me?" And we said that, I believe that's where we ended up the last session. And he asked the question, knowing, we know of course he knew exactly who had touched him. But we said as we ended that session that when Jesus asks a question, it's always to teach us something. It's always to teach us something. And it was to teach them that the power of God and would only be accessed through faith. That the power of God can only be accessed through faith. Because there was hundreds of people around him and he's being touched by many, but only one believed and touched him by faith. And he said to her, this woman that was, the Bible does not give her name, does not give where she's from, does not give any information about her, except she had this terrible problem, an issue of blood, and had tried everything else, and believed that only Jesus could take care of her issue. And she touched him by faith, and he looked at her and said, "Daughter." In other words, she was now a child of God. "Your faith has made you whole." And we were taught there through the question that Jesus asked, we were taught that faith is the common denominator that brings salvation to our souls and helps us to grow as a Christian and to get through the things in this life. So we've looked at several people. And the one statement I've made, I've got it underlined here, and I want to always go back to that because I want to remind myself of it constantly. You will never discover that God is all you need until you realize he is all you have. You'll never discover that we also realize he is all we need because of who he is. And so we looked at that. We talked about how we have a need to hunger for Jesus. We talked about that and studied through that. And I'm just kind of recapping this as quickly as I can because there may be some people watching online. But again, we talked about Moses. He said, "God, let me know your ways God, let me know your plan. God, I need to have, he didn't just need information. He needed illumination. He needed God to show him the right path to follow and how God did that. And so that was one of the things that we saw. We saw that he asked to see God's glory and that he had been through so much already that he had seen in that. So now, after all that, let me say this. I think we're going to go here first and then go to Genesis. I think we're going to Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Now you can look at this two ways, but I'm using it as an example also. As most things are, as we're saved by faith, by the grace of God, as a Christian, we grow by faith, by the grace of God. And as we go through our life as a Christian, there's always going to be challenges in our life, every day. We never know what is going to come. And in a few moments, we're going to look at a man that faced the greatest challenge that anyone could ever face in his life. But I want you to look at the scriptures here in Hebrews chapter 10 and the 19th verse. And I believe Paul wrote this, and I believe he is referring actually here to his Jewish brothers that they might draw near unto salvation in Christ. But I want to say to you again, the same thing that brings salvation brings growth in your life through sanctification as a born-again believer and a child of God. And we want to look at these verses of Scripture here. He says in verse 19 of the 10th chapter of Hebrews, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, we have confidence. Do you have confidence in Christ? In every area of your life, confidence to enter the most holy place. By the most holy place, he's talking about the very presence of God himself. And we have that in us. If you've been saved and you've been born again, Christ lives in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God. That is the most holy place. They could not go in there. The Jews could not. They could never go in there. Only the high priest on one day, on the Day of Atonement, could go in carrying the blood of the sacrifice. They could never go in. You are the temple of God. You are in the Holy of Holies living in you in the person of the presence of God in the Holy Spirit. And so what he's saying here, look at verse 20. By a new and living way, that is a new covenant that has been brought through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, opened through us through the curtain. That was what separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies in the temple and the tabernacle. So that curtain, that is his body. When his body was crucified and torn on the cross, the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn in two from the top to the bottom, opening up the way, signifying opening up the way in the presence of God. Now notice what he says, verse 21. And since we have a great priest, a great high priest, over the house of God. Now notice he's going to use these words over and over again in we begin in verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Now, we can take that verse right there and we can use it as a blueprint to live out our Christian lives. Drawing near to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Having confidence that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we might think or ask, according to his mighty power that is at work within us. So this is the blueprint, if you will, for Jack Russell to live out his Christian life. Walking by faith, not by sight, having full confidence in the person of Jesus Christ, not only in who he is, but in what he does and how he cares, and that he loves you and that he cares for you, even though he knows everything about you. And so as Paul writes here, I believe in Hebrews, this is what he's talking about. Whether it be for salvation or living out our Christian lives, we need to draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, cleansed. Verse 3, let us, once again, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You see, my hope is not in my bank account. I could lose that tomorrow, and so could you. I know my sister and I both got a letter in the mail yesterday, and it was one of the providers, ophthalmology group, that we go to for our eyes. I go for checkups. I've had 6 eye surgeries, but I go for checkups, and she gets shots in her eyes because she's going blind with macular degeneration. Anyway, you didn't need to know all that, but that's why we go there. Okay, we got a letter from them, and they said, we are sorry to tell you that our system has been hacked, and your information may have been broken into, more or less. And so you might have some problems out of this, and goes on and tells you all about you can be hacked. Your identity can be stolen. Your bank account can be emptied. You could face serious consequences in this world in which you live. One day you could be sailing high, and the next day you could be wondering how you'll live through the next hour. This is the world we live in, right? Nothing is guaranteed except this. We have a living hope that resurrected from the dead on the third day, overcame death, hell, and the grave, saved us by his grace, made us a child of God. Our names are graven in his hand, written in the book of life, and one day I shall spend eternity with him in his heavenly kingdom. This is what I know. This is what cannot change. This is what is guaranteed in my life as an individual. And so this is what he's talking about. Hold on unswervingly to the hope, to that living hope you have in Jesus Christ. And so it is that we look to. It is that we remember. It is that we praise God for, that we look at every day, driving us on in our Christian life. And you know, you got 2 ways to look at everything, don't you? The glass is either half empty or it's half full. I think God delights in putting different people together. My wife is definitely a glass half empty person. If she walks in a building, immediately she sees what's wrong with everything, and usually tells me about it, including our house. I told her, I said, I wish you'd start a sentence with something besides "you need to." So she's a glass half empty. I am a glass half full person. I'm a total optimist. I believe it's all going to work out just fine. So God put us both together. So it's like oil and water. But we have finally mixed together to the point I've got more water in her glass and she's got less water in my glass. So we're kind of fitting together there, you know. Well, I look at it this way. Every day I live, if you got a half a glass, you think it's half empty. You can look at it and say, every day I live, I'm getting older and closer to dying. Well, that's true, isn't it? Right, Henry? That's right. That's right. Or you can say, the glass is half full, and every day I live, I'm getting closer to heaven and a glorified body and eternal life with Jesus Christ. Right? So you decide how you want to go through this life. With your glass half empty or your glass half full? Knowing that Jesus Christ is able, and that is the truth. And so he said, hold unswervingly to that living hope that you have in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on, and by the way, I'm going to teach through all of this when I get through with what I'm teaching now, maybe. Everybody keeps asking me, who is going to teach when you're not teaching? Aaron, probably. But I haven't completely decided if I'm going to quit teaching after I retire. I know a lot of you wish I would, but I may teach a little longer. Maybe. But I am going to make myself available to preach and to teach wherever I'm needed. So there'll be Sundays I won't be here. And that's glass half full. Okay. I guess. Then he goes on to say, let us consider how we may encourage or spur one another toward love and good deeds. And I would go through all of this, but I'm going to teach through all that later on. Okay? All right, now we're going to the book of Genesis. He said, well, you go from Hebrews to Genesis. Why in the world are you going there? Well, when you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 21 and 22, and our main study is going to be in 22, chapter 22 of Genesis, you're going to find there's a man there named Abraham. And he's called the father of faith. And rightly so. But the question I want to ask now, as we just studied through there in Hebrews, the question that I headed that all up with, are you drawing near? Are you drawing near constantly to Christ in your life? Because it's not a one-time deal. It is in that you're saved, but God is concerned more about your heart than he is about your head. He wants you to draw near to him because you love him, because you have a relationship with him, because he wants fellowship with you. And you can't have fellowship with him if you're not drawing near to him. It's like you're married and you tell your wife, I'll see you in about 6 years. Or you tell your wife, if you really want to have a happy marriage, you tell your wife, woman, I'll see you when I need you. That'll really make for a happy marriage. Well, sometimes that's what happens with God. We think he's like a genie in a bottle, and we say, God, I'll call you when I need you. That's right. You know what I mean? When I get hard times, God, I'll call you then. When I get into something I know I can't get out of, God, I'll call you then. When I have a real problem, I'll call you then, God. No, he says, you draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. And that's how we're supposed to live every day of our life as a Christian. Drawing near to him, knowing he will draw near to us. All right, now what? So the next question I'm going to ask as we get into this next part we're going to study is, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price to draw near to God and become the Christian he saved you to be? Because it will cost you. It will cost you. It will cost you your time, your talents, and your money. It will. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're going to miss out on some of the greatest blessings of life. All right. There's a man called Abraham. And I'm not going to go back and study and read through the 21st chapter. But if you study the 21st chapter, you'll find out that it is a chapter of blessings for Abraham. It is a time of blessing for Abraham and God working through his life. And then you hit 22. And then you hit 22. And this is what I want to say. It is not unusual, after you have gone through a time of blessing, to go through a time of testing. It is not unusual, after you have gone through a time of blessing, to go through a time of testing. Because remember, what God wants is your heart. He wants your love. And there's a scripture in the Bible, and we'll get to it eventually. I've got it in here somewhere, but I'm not going to go to it and find it right now. But it says these words. It says, to hate your father, your mother, your brother, or your sister. What is that? What in the world is God talking about? He's talking about in comparison to how you love and follow him. In other words, God does not want to play second fiddle to anybody in your life. If you're a husband, the greatest way you can love your wife is to love God. If you're a wife, the greatest way you can love your husband is to love God. And that's just true. Now then, God is not afraid to test you in the area of your life you value most. Now I'm going to say it again. God is not afraid to test you in the area of your life you value most. Because that's where the real test comes. Let's look at chapter 22, Genesis, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Now, isn't that unimaginable? Here is a man named Abraham that God has made a covenant with, and he has said to him, Abraham, I will make you the father of many nations, and your seed will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand of the earth. And now God says to Abraham, take your son, your only son, and take him up on the mountain and kill him as a sacrifice to me. Does that make sense to you? It shouldn't. And that's, wouldn't that be what Abraham's thinking? I'm supposed to be the father of many nations. My seed is supposed to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And I've got one son, and now you're telling me that I'm to take him up and sacrifice him on the mountain. What about that promise you made to me? Not everything God asks you to do will make sense to you at the time. Not everything you go through in life will make sense to you at the time. Some things you go through and some things that God allows you, doesn't cause, but allows you to go through, would be some of the most objectionable, fearful things you could ever go through in life. The loss of a loved one. The loss of a child. Financial loss. On and on and on and on. And here we have an example of God coming to a man that he truly loved. The father of everything he was going to do. And he says, take your son, your only son, on a mountain I will tell you about. And on that mountain, you sacrifice your only son to me. Now what just knocks my socks off is this, the next verse. Look at it. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. My gosh. Good Lord. No question. No negotiations. God, are you sure about this? God, what else can I sacrifice? God, let's talk about this. Let's take some time and think about this. Wouldn't that be what you would have done? Early the next morning, Abraham, without question, without negotiation, without waiting, saddles his donkey, takes his son and two servants, and set out to do what God told him to do. My gosh. Do you have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of faith? I don't know that I do. Charlie, why would you spoil my fun?
Sorry.
I don't think you're even sorry. You're exactly right. That kind of faith. God made me a promise. I'll be the father of many nations. God told me to sacrifice my only son. I don't know how he's going to do it. But I know this, and we're going to get to that tonight probably. He knew one thing above everything else. What did he know? God will provide. God will provide. My wife and I have had several discussions lately. We never have an argument, just discussions. Well, when you retire, you won't be getting a check from the church. How are we going to make it? Well, what are you going to do when you retire then? Well, I don't know how this is going to work. You've never done this before. You know what I told her? Don't you think I know that? But there's one thing I know above everything else. God will provide. God will provide. If you don't believe that, you're going to have an awful lot of problems your whole life. You're going to worry yourself to death. And have anxiety out of this world. Are you willing to pay the price? Boy, this is a challenge for me. And believe me, just because a preacher is a preacher, don't think he doesn't go through the same battles you go through every single day. Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone where you feel safe and do what God asks you to do? This is a very simple question. Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone where you feel safe and comfortable and do what God asks you to do? Are you willing to do that? Because you see, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's just what he asked Abraham. My gosh. Of all the things he could have said. You think it wasn't hard on Abraham to get up that next morning and to head out with his son and two servants and the wood for the burnt offering? Don't you think he was scared to death? I would have been, even though I knew God would provide. And what about when they got up on the mountain, going up on the mountain? And his son looks at him and asks him, Father, we have the wood for the fire, but where is the sacrifice? You see, God is not afraid to ask us to get out of our comfort zone and to go out beyond ourselves. And I'm going to tell you something. Every time I have been willing to do that, I have seen God work. There has never been a single time in my life that I have been willing to do that, that I have not seen God work. So if you want, if you really want to see what God can do, and not see what you can do, but to see what God can do, you've got to have that faith. You've got to have that belief. You've got to have that belief anchored in your heart that God will provide, no matter what. You may not know how, you may not know where, but you don't need to know how, and you don't need to know where, you just need to know who, and that's Him. Because, did you notice what little information God gave Abraham? He didn't tell him what mountain, He didn't tell him how long it takes to get there. He just said, take off, go to that area, I'll tell you when you get there, and I'll tell you what you need to do. You just go. Have you got faith to do that? Do you believe that you believe God will provide? Are you willing to risk it? Are you willing to step out where you really feel comfortable? Where you really feel safe? And trust God. If you want to see God work, that's where you have to go. And you have to draw near to Him. And He will draw near to you. Amen? We're going to stop right there. And we'll pick up tonight. Has anybody got a bulletin? Are we having the Lord's Supper tonight, or am I teaching tonight? No, what? Okay, I'm teaching. Okay, that's what I needed to know. Okay, that's fine. I just needed to know, because I knew last Sunday, we used to have it on the first Sunday, but we didn't have church last Sunday, did we? Yeah, okay. Let's pray together. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. And it is unimaginable to me what You asked of Abraham. And yet I know that You had Your plan, Your way, and Your reason. For Your ways are higher than our ways, and Your thoughts higher than our thoughts. But in the end, with a steadfast hope in the promises of God and the power of God, we know God will provide. So Father, help us to have the courage and faith in the darkest of times to draw near to You, knowing that even in the worst circumstances,